This has been out for a while. I have seen parts of this. I'm familiar with most of the story. It's a fascinating story. Very sad story. Tragic. The two Escobars.
So when ESPN and Bill Simmons had the idea for ESPN's 30th anniversary to do 30 for 30, 30 sports films to celebrate the 30th anniversary, one of them, one of the original 30, number 16 in the lineup, in fact, that was first aired in 2010, is The Two Escobars. It's 10 years old, almost exactly 10 years old. It came out June 22nd, 2010. And for 10 years, I have wanted to watch this. And I cannot tell you why I've never gotten through it. It's been on my DVR three or four different times and eventually gotten deleted. I've had P1s recommend it to me for 10 years. If you look at any list of the top 10 30 for 30 films, and there have been 157 of them total now, The Two Escobars is almost on every single top 10. It's considered one of the best. So I finally, last weekend, sat down and watched The Two Escobars. And it was produced by Jeff Zimbalist and Michael Zimbalist. And it details the lives of soccer player Andres Escobar, Colombian soccer legend, and drug lord Pablo Escobar. And this is taking place late 80s to mid 90s. And it's the story of the two who were not related, but whose paths crossed several times because of soccer. Andres Escobar, soccer legend, tall guy, center back, very quiet guy, very shy, very humble, did not really do a whole lot in the way of being flamboyant or out there publicly or give you juicy quotes in the press or anything like that. Very reserved, from a good family in Colombia. A lot of his teammates were very much out there. The Colombian national team, very flamboyant. Colombia, even though they're in South America, did not have a great soccer history, and they had been really bad for a long time, the national team, until the drug lords started getting involved, and they started paying for a lot of really great players to stay at home, to play for Colombia, the national team. They put a lot of money into soccer because they loved soccer. So Pablo Escobar, this drug lord, for example, soccer's his thing. He grew up playing it like everybody in Colombia, and he was such a huge fan that he started getting involved, putting money into soccer teams in Colombia, and basically running them. And so since he's running some of these professional teams and he's running the Colombian national team in a lot of ways, their paths crossed. Well, a lot of the players were not necessarily okay with it, but they just went along with it. And some of the players became friendly with Escobar and his staff. And seeing some of these highlights from Colombian soccer in the early 90s, and how the Colombian soccer team progressed once the drug money got into it, and how good they got. Some of the old highlights were great to watch. For example, there was one match where whoever was playing Colombia, one of the guys takes a shot on goal, but it's a real high arcing shot. It's kind of, as in baseball terms, a can of corn. So the Colombian goaltender, and I've never seen this before, To defend the shot, he doesn't catch it. He doesn't hit it with his head. He does a reverse kick and blocks it out of the goal with his feet as he's upside down in midair. Have you ever seen a goalkeeper do that? Ever?
Seems like a really unnecessary move.
Totally unnecessary. But that was the personality of the Colombian team, but not the personality of Andres Escobar. He was real reserved. So anytime he had to meet with Pablo Escobar, he went along with it because he knew he was Pablo Escobar and he knew he was funding the soccer program. And it should be said that Pablo Escobar, this notorious drug cartel lord, in the beginning was very good for Columbia because he came from poverty. Once he gained all this wealth through selling drugs, you can debate that, but he did put that wealth back into the community, and he was beloved because he built, the people were living in shanty towns, and he built neighborhoods for them. He gave them jobs. And it's the old story of any drug lord, any mafia boss. You know, they are doing something for their community. Now, the means by which they're getting to these riches and sometimes what they hold over community members, okay, I did this for you, now you got to do this for me, that can get really, really messy. But Pablo Escobar was beloved. So you have these two Escobar lives going on. Well, Pablo Escobar now is on the radar of the U.S. government, and they realize he's selling all of this cocaine to Americans who are using it, and it's fueling the drug problem in our country. So they go after him. They want to extradite him. So the way he gets around extradition, he runs for public office in Colombia, because if you hold a political office, you cannot be extradited. So he runs for some public office, and he wins because he's so popular with the public.
Yeah, no problem there.
But a lot of politicians hated the fact that he won public office, so they start to publicly tear him down, and they oppose him, and then suddenly that night they turn up dead. And then another politician opposes him, and the next night he is shot. So this is where it turned really violent, where the Escobar drug cartel got real violent, and now to control things instead of just trying to put financial pressure on people, now he's turned to violence, and it turned into a big war, a drug war between Colombian authorities and politicians and the Escobar cartel. So you've got that going on. Meanwhile, the Colombian soccer team is playing at the highest level ever. They win the South American Copa, which crowns them as the number one country, the number one soccer team in South America, and now they're headed to the 1994 World Cup held here in the U.S.
You bet.
And we all know this story. You've probably heard this story. You've probably told this story, but maybe you didn't know exactly what was behind it or who was behind it. But the Colombian soccer team comes to America. They're playing their games in Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl. They are under such immense pressure from what's going on back home, because back home, the country is being torn apart by this drug war, by all the violence. And so the nation, their only escape, their only hope is Colombia to win the World Cup. Unthinkable 4 years earlier. But let's win the World Cup. So the team is under such pressure that they go out in the very first game, the World Cup, in the very first round, they're in their group of four with Romania, Switzerland, and the U.S., and unthinkably, they lose to Romania 3-1. They go back to their hotel. Death threats, messages coming from home: if you don't beat the United States in your next match, we're going to kill your wife, we're going to kill your kids. These are coming from not necessarily Pablo Escobar, but they're coming from Colombians who are so wrapped up in it, other people involved in the drug trade. Everyone is furious that they lost so badly 3-1 to Romania. They were heavy favorites.
Could you imagine playing under that kind of pressure?
It got to them, and they cracked. By the way, they were picked by Pele to win the entire World Cup. That's where the bar was for them going in. Now they lose to Romania in game one, unthinkably. In fact, when they got back to their hotel, somebody had pirated the hotel cable TV boxes in their room. And when all the players turned on the TV, there were death threats on the TV, and there were messages for the coach to bench this certain player that the fans didn't think was any good. And the coach's family was threatened. And so the coach said, I had no choice. I had to bench this guy for the game against the United States. So now they go out and they are all freaked out in their next game against the U.S. And it's a very close game. They should have beaten the United States pretty easily. But it's a 1-1 game. And then there's a ball that's drifting in front of the Colombian goal. Escobar defender goes back. He tries to slide and to poke it out of the way, to try to poke it to one of the corners. Instead, Andres Escobar pokes it into his own goal. He scores an own goal. Colombia loses 2-1. And we've all heard the story of the Colombian soccer player who scored an own goal and was killed for it. Well, in the two Escobars, the whole story is told. And he is devastated. The country is devastated. And there's a segment of the country that is furious and wants him dead because he scored an own goal in the World Cup. They are out after the group play. They're out. They don't advance. So they all fly back home. They get back home. And all of the players are given police escorts, bodyguards. They all go back to their homes, and they are all staying secluded. And this is the biggest mistake that Andres Escobar ever made, more than the own goal. As all the players are staying home, that first night home, Andres Escobar talks to a buddy of his on the team and says, "Let's go out. Let's go to a bar. I can't hide. I need to show my face to the Colombian public, to the Colombian fans. I can't hide the rest of my life. I have to get out there." And his buddy said, "Not tonight. We'll go in a couple months. Stay at home with your wife and kids, or fiance, and stay at home with your fiance and your parents, and let's ride this out for a little bit because you don't know who's angry out there." So Escobar says, "Fine, I'll go on my own." So he goes to a bar at midnight, this very packed, popular bar in Medellin. And he's in there, and he's initially greeted with cheers and hugs and applause. And most of Colombia, those fans in there, felt for him, and they forgave him and whatnot. But there were a couple of guys there. They were involved with another drug cartel that was warring with the Escobar cartel. They started talking trash to him. He talked a little trash back, went out to the parking lot since he needed to leave, got in his car. They were talking more trash, so he drives up to them, rolls down his window, talks some more trash back. They pull out guns, and they kill him.
Golly.
And that's the Andres Escobar story. And he was about to become the first Colombian soccer player to ever sign a big deal with AC Milan to go play European soccer. He was the greatest soccer player, arguably, in the country's history, and he was about to make it big in Europe, and he was going to move his whole family to Italy, where they would have been safe and secure and whatnot. He had to go out that night to face the public, and it cost him his life. That, by the way, Pablo Escobar also lost his life. Andres Escobar was killed at the age of 27. Pablo Escobar, the drug lord, died at the age of 44 in a shootout. Not long after Andres Escobar died, Pablo died when things got really violent and the two warring cartel factions, you know, basically attacked each other. So it's a really interesting 30 for 30. It's been out there for almost exactly 10 years now, but if you've never seen it, I highly recommend the two Escobars.
Well, we've had gaffes in big games, Super Bowl drops, or maybe a tipped basketball back in the basket. Is there anything worse just overall than the own goal like that?
It's pretty bad, and I can't imagine anything in this country, any mistake made by a national team member that would cause the public to want to kill them and actually kill them.
No. Wow. Fascinating. All right, 9:13 on the ticket. Up next, Gordo's Corner.
Well, I told you what the tease was. Go ahead, Giorgio. Do it.
Hot dogs in Alaska next.
No, it's not hot dogs in Alaska, but close. No, we're going to hear some of the Friday night broadcast that we've been talking so much about next.